And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Clint Rarkus.
And Dan Fernandez he's at GDC, right?
Yes,
Game Developer Conference.
He's being a developer.
Yeah, he's on a boondoggle. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, this week we announced that there's going to be another Build Conference.
Ooh, yes.
So this is Build 2013. This is happening down in San Francisco. And registration opens next week, April 2nd at 9 a.m. PDT. So if it's anything like last year's Build Conference, you'll definitely want to sign up fast because I think within an hour?
Last year it sold, I think, well below an hour.
So pretty awesome. It's exciting. Lots of interesting content, I'm sure. But that's all we know at this point. So next up, this is an article that talks about something that I actually wasn't aware of. It's the WPF Performance Suite.
I wasn't aware of it, but doing a quick little glance at it, it's a Microsoft tool. It is basically the profiler that's very similar to if you use the Windows Phone tooling or Windows Store tooling. It basically shows you like, hey, here's the parts that are getting
bottlenecks,
GPU, bottlenecks, performance issues. I mean, if you use WPF and you think you're having performance issues, highly suggest downloading the tool and running it.
Right on. So a couple of good articles that we linked to here that basically take you through how to download and install the tools and then how to interpret the results.
Yep.
So here's another article. This is on Brew 1.0. So we actually have a couple of nice 1.0 releases this week. This is the first one. And Brew, from what I've read, I haven't used it, but it looks like it's a cousin of Juice. And it's designed to be a little bit more lightweight and optimized. And the idea is that, let's say you're an ASP.NET developer, you want to take advantage of some of the great jQuery UI advancements that are out there. This allows you to just drop in an ASP.NET server tag and Brew does the rest.
Yeah, so it's what you're used to and then it gives you the power of the new stuff.
Yes, exactly. And so in related news, another 1.0 JavaScript release.
Backbone JS 1.0. Mm-hmm. So basically, Backbone, if you're not aware of it, is a pretty much used for single page applications, and it's the MVP model, so model view presenter setup. If you, I highly suggest you check it out. They're at a 1.0. Congratulations, guys.
Yes.
Good job.
Your cake is in the mail. So we talked of couple months ago now about how TFS is getting Git support, so you can use it in the hosted Team Foundation service as well as in the next major release of Team Foundation server on premises. And so I thought it'd be a good time to actually point out this article by Luca Milanesio on Git patterns and anti-patterns, because obviously if you're using TFS today and you don't come from a Git background, Git has kind of its own kind of nuances and things that you'll want to do and stay away from. And so just a good kind of quick ref card that you can print out. And
the one thing that actually I slightly disagree with, the he called out as an anti-pattern, is learning all the command line stuff first. I mean, you can get away with not using the command line on source control for most stuff. It's useful to have and useful to know.
Right.
I don't think, like, that's like saying you need to know MS Build to be a dev.
Sure, that's a good point. Yeah, especially with the new Visual Studio tools for Git.
Yeah.
They actually, last I talked to those guys, they actually implemented more operations in the UI than Xcode did, which has had Git support for a long time.
Okay.
So I thought that was a good benchmark. So that's a good point. So the next few are going to be related to kind of 3D. The first is developing an app with the Visual Studio 3D Starter Kit. So we talked about this 3D Starter Kit a few months ago, I think it was, or maybe it was a couple months ago. Time flies. And this is a really nice three-part tutorial by Roberto Sonnino at Microsoft where he basically goes through how to build a six-sided die game and then use that within the context of a Windows 8 application.
Yeah. Like, I looked at it and I'm like, it's on my to-do list to go check it out and play with it because I'm fairly weak in C++, and this looks like a fairly well-written and amazing demo. I mean, it uses shaders, everything.
Yeah, and it would be very helpful for those Dungeons & Dragons games. You need a six-sided die.
Nah, I need it. Upgrade that to 20, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So in related news, this is a new set of game templates that we released at GDC this week?
So they're Direct3D game templates. There's three of them. There is the, if you want to use XAML with the swap chain, Direct3D game.
Okay.
It's, if you just want the game, it's like, just use it without the XAML. And then you can use, there's a third template that actually lets you toggle between the two. And it's using the best practices according to the C++ team, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want to go use the templates, check them out.
Okay, that sounds good. And the other one here that's related to games is the beta release of Unity. Is that right?
Yes, but this is also just talking about there are a couple
multiple middleware offerings.
Havoc. Yeah. So okay. There's Havoc, Marmalade, and Unity. So Unity 4 just opened up for beta for Windows Phone 8.
Okay.
We talked about some games that have already shipped with it. So it's just more or less, here are a bunch of different options. If you want to support Windows Phone,
okay,
here are some of the things you can leverage.
All right. Sounds good. So our buddy Den Delmarski over at Coding for Fun, he wrote this post that talks about hidden activity in your Windows Phone apps. What is hidden activity in your Windows Phone apps?
We've all done this. We've gone on like Stack Overflow, grab or sample code, grab it, does what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But the dangerous thing is not understanding how that code works. He points out a dispatch timer, which if you enable it and then navigate away, it keeps on running.
Mm.
So this is actually a bug that bit me a while back, where I'm looking at my memory counters and I'm like, why am I still processing stuff when I shouldn't be? Because I enabled it and then left the page, and it was one of those things where I didn't realize what was going on until I started looking at it. And it's one of
turns out you're actually contributing to the SETI project in the background all the time. Yeah,
I mean, hey, it's your cell phone. Who cares?
Exactly.
So it's one of those things by actually looking through the sample code, or if you're leveraging someone else's code, to pay attention and verify, like, hey, did this actually get turned off,
right,
or the little quirks and stuff like that.
That's a good reminder. So another friend of the show here, Jeff Bertoft, he had a video out of the studio recently that he talked about how you can use YUI with Windows 8 store apps. Obviously, these are store apps that are written in HTML, JavaScript, but I didn't know this, but the YUI team actually went through the process of certifying a section of their library for use on WinRT.
Okay.
So that's really cool. Go check out the article or the video from Jeff for that.
Okay.
And that brings us to
Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. So my pick of the week is also in the game category, but it's a little old school. This is built. This is an RPG that was built in Excel. I mean, you gotta love that. You remember the old flight simulator that was kind of hidden in older versions of Excel? Well, this is basically written in Excel. It uses all the macros that are built into Excel, and so just really, really cool. So
it's one of those things where you don't realize how truly powerful Excel can be.
Yeah, Excel is amazing. Well, just Office in general is amazing.
All the
different things that you can do. So your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a Coding for Fun, the dynamic lock screen changer for Windows Phone 8 using the Azure Mobile Services with ASP.NET MVC.
Okay, so how does this work exactly?
So basically, you using AMS, you get a bunch of pictures and give them the URLs to those things, and then your app then goes in and grabs those the directories,
right,
and then goes, okay, well, do you want to make this entire set your background screen, and then it will update it with the background task.
That's cool. I
so
love
it's
that.
Kind of like the CNN or the Bing app, same concept, but this shows you how to do it.
That's awesome. I do love that feature. I use CNN as my lock screen, which is great because I often catch news stories I wasn't aware of. However, it was embarrassing the other day because I realized that I had my phone out and there was a mugshot of Kim Jong Un. And I was worried that people were going to think that I, like, you know, am obsessed with Kim Jong-un, which of course I am.
Yeah. I mean, mine is a Russian MiG in the air, so, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, thanks for watching, and I think, is Dan back next week? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe Dan will be back next week, but enjoy your weekend.
There goes my review.
Exactly. Talk to you later.